Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. Just one word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding. Though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk to the end of thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord. Speak, Lord. We'll move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give a peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Speak. We need a word from the Lord. A word from the Lord. Just one word from the Lord will move
Good afternoon. Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host. It's me. It's Brenda K. Sanders. I'm glad that I could be with you another Sunday afternoon to share with you, to share motivational thoughts with you, I want to say, to embark on this motivational outreach with you. And if you've listened to this broadcast before, you know that I aim to encourage in this broadcast. I aim to uplift you, to exhort someone out there. Because no matter what, no matter how bright the weather is, no matter how bright the news is, no matter how confident those that those seem around you, there is someone that is downcast. There is someone at this very moment that's contemplating giving up in their life, in their life cycle. They're giving up. They say there is no way out. There is nothing left for me. Well, that is a complete lie, my friend, if you're listening today. I know that that's a lie. I know that the very enemy of your soul, Satan, is attempting to deceive you so that you can self-destruct before the blessing arrives in your midst. And it's a common practice. I know that it happens to me a lot until I become mature in the things of God, and I've matured and matured and matured, and to mature and to be groomed in those things where you can look in. You know, I'm always talking about the dark glass. I'm going to get there in a minute. But to look at a dark situation and say, God, there is hope here. There I can see you in this very dark situation, Lord. I can feel you in this very dark situation. I can sense you in this very dark situation. That's maturity. That's growth. That's where God wants to take us. And let me tell you, from experience, having been there so many times. In fact, I look at the Lord most of the time and say, you know, I spend most of my time in this dark area looking at you, God, and hearing from you. When am I going to get in the bright room that so often I see that you've placed others? But what I want to say is there is hope. There is an uplifting that will come to you. That person that is downcast, that person is depressed. You know, that's not a bad word. That person that is depressed. You know, you feel down and out about your situation. You came from a job interview and you felt like you didn't get the job, and you certainly need the job. You need the money. That person, I'm talking to you today. Life is going to get better. I mean, it's something that we have to walk step by step. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord, and it is certainly possible. That's why I come on this radio broadcast from week to week to motivate. Somebody's listening that needs a word. You know, I have embarked on this. Before I get to my message, I'll go to my theme scripture for the program, which is 1 Corinthians 13:12. I know you probably know it by heart. This is the Amplified version of the verse. It says, "For we are now looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection." That we are now, I mean, I think it's on a consistent basis. Like I said, I believe I've spent most of my spiritualist experience in this blurred experience. It's not much fun until I've learned to allow God to reveal himself to me so that I can sense what his will is, any difference, any certain situation there is. It says, "For we are now looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection." There is some, you know, light in the mirror. A mirror does give you an image it projects back to you. So you have some sense of what's going on in your situation. But you need God in the situation so that he can reveal the full clarity and truth of the situation, so that he can also impart his wisdom into the situation, even though you're staring into the mirror, which is also the dark glass in some instances. It said, "For we are now looking in a mirror that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face." Thank God for this promise. He says, we're going to see, even in spite of this mirror, even in spite of this dark glass. He says, "Now I know in part." Oh, it says, "When perfection comes, we are going to see. We shall," that's very strong promise there, "we shall see in reality and," my favorite part, "face to face." So much revelation that comes forth when you see face to face, any situation you want to see. I told you before, I think I said it a couple, 2-3 weeks ago, you go to a job interview. No one is doing, well, I did an interview with someone last year on a Skype, but it's still face to face. Because there is a discerning there. There is a wealth of information when you do a face-to-face interview. And that's just one way. I mean, God, we have not yet seen a full-blown use of the Internet when it comes to job interviews, and that's for a reason. There's clarity. There's reality. There is a revelation when we see a situation face-to-face, when we see each other face-to-face. It is a flow of revelation, if you will, and is very useful and very profitable. In the second part of the verse, it says, now I know in part, imperfectly. We know only imperfectly. I forgive you for your mistakes. I forgive myself for my mistakes. Forgive me for my mistakes. Because we only see imperfectly until God gives us revelation. He says, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God. And so he has promised here to extend full clarity, full knowledge, full revelation to us as believers, as we pursue and seek him out and come to face to face with him. There are the benefits of coming face to face with God and staying there. We're allowed to stay there. I believe there are certain cycles. I'm going to talk about one of them today, the cycle of patience. It's a fruit of the Spirit. I don't pray for it. And I don't try to pray for it. I believe God has definitely infused it in my life. I didn't pray for it one time. But yet, I have experienced it, the cycle over and over and over. And I can say I've been blessed by it. I have learned from this cycle of patience. I didn't ask for it. I don't pray for it. I don't praise God for it. But he has, as my parent, as my father, as Jesus my Lord, has allowed me to experience the cycle over and over and over and over. One reason is because, you know, it's for my better good. It's for my best good, if I say that. He knows what's best for me. And so while I have not prayed for it, I'm talking about it now. And, you know, sometimes I always say when I do these messages on Block Talk Radio, I'm speaking to myself. Well, he will let me know later. I'm talking to you. You think you're talking to him, but I'm talking to you. And so now I'm talking about patience. Oh, my goodness. I should be stand on guard or be on guard here. But nevertheless, it is the truth that God wants us to be patient. It's not very easy. It's not very easy. I have just gone through revolution of revolution and revolution after revolution of being patient. And it has just kind of happened, and I'm not there yet. I'm still working to see what God has for me in terms of of being patient and then chastising me when I'm not patient. But it's a very, 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 very potent area where God has definitely operated on me. And I know it's important for others as well. It may not seem like it, but it's a very, very important concept. We find it in the Word of Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and that's capital S, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Long-suffering there is, I forgot what translation that is. Long-suffering there is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. I am still kind of like in my head. I'm still kind of like back at 1 Samuel, 1st chapter, 2nd chapter with Hannah. I said, let me look at another scenario where there is a situation where someone in the Bible, an example, if you will, of someone enduring long suffering or having a promise of long suffering, having a promise and then enduring long suffering. I keep going back down. I'll just mention it for a minute. I've kind of contrasted and compared it to what Sarah faced when she and Abraham were promised seed and then eventually God becoming more specific, a son, what they endured. Because I use those concepts in my own life when I am believing God for blessing. When I received a promise, now I told you that it's a cycle. The first cycle of it, the first phase is the promise, excuse me. The first phase of the patient cycle is the, did I say that right? Let me say it again. The first phase of the patient cycle is the promise. And if it's God, because I mean, I can promise someone $5 and I take my time to give it to them or I forget or for some reason something happens, I may not have it to give to them or something like that, and that person may get angry with me or be offended or upset with me. I don't think that the same cycle of patience is worked through as when God does it. And so, God can take years to fulfill a promise that he gave you. He can take years to fulfill a prayer that you prayed for years, and it hasn't come to pass. Well, I prayed that 25 years ago, and I haven't seen it yet. Well, so did Abraham and Sarah. It took that long for them, for God to realize a promise that he gave him. So I'm going to say, and I had it down here anyway, that the first phase of the cycle of patience, the first phase is the promise. And the promise, not just from anyone, not just from your grandparent or your first cousin, your boss, wife or husband, children. It is the promise that God gave you. God gave you the promise. Jesus revealed the promise to you. The first phase of the cycle of patience is the promise. And when I discuss this as it relates to Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, I first started at Genesis chapter 16, because that's the chapter where all three of these people are mentioned. But I had, when I thought about the cycle of patience here, the promise began in very generally in Genesis 12, and I'm still looking at it. It began in Genesis 12. And at that point, God was dealing with Abraham. He had to move out of his hometown and go into another land that God told him to go into, and to go into the land of Canaan. But God promised Abraham seed at that time. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And God told him at that time, I'm just going to briefly refer to chapter 12 before we get to chapter 16. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. Well, that took faith right there, moving from place to place. It does take faith. I mean, some people do it and don't think much of it, relocate. But here he instructed Abraham to move out of this place of comfort and to move into a place where God was going to bless him. And he said it in verse 3 of chapter 12 of Genesis, is that I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, one, if God told me that, I would say, God, wait a minute here. How is that going to happen? We know that Sarah was barren, Sarai was barren, and that she was not able to bear children. I don't know if she knew it at first, but for some reason, she was not able to bear children. And I believe she was quite up in age, as Abraham was, and Sarah and Hannah was the same. And so God is speaking, and when God speaks, he wants you to know it's God, and I'm sure he did confirm it to Abraham over and over and over during this promised journey in the midst of the cycle of patience, that is. He confirms himself, and I like that about my Lord. He will confirm himself over and over. He confirms his word, and he will confirm the word of the prophets. He will confirm his word over and over and over, as he did here with Abraham. And so a cycle of patience. Now, why do I say the first phase is the promise? Because the promise is from God. God says something to you. God promised you something. God is answering a prayer that you prayed maybe years ago. I can pull out prophetic words from when I first got saved in 1987. When I was spirit-filled in 1988, I can pull out prophetic words from 1995 that are coming to pass now, some of the things I never dreamed of. And so the promises are sure. They're going to come to pass no matter what the time. I'm sure most people know that. Sometimes we forget. We forget. But when we mature in the cycle of patience, with this promise that God has given us, or the vision that he gives us that we're supposed to be running with, as we matriculate in this cycle of patience, let me tell you, you do. You grow up in it, and it doesn't seem as extreme. I'm reminded of two very specific instances. One is the reason why I decided to embark on this message today, but the other one is this. In my former church, I worked on the, I'm trying to remember what they call the ministry. It's when you minister to the bereaved, when they have a deceased loved one. And there are teams, okay, teams where there's a homegoing service, funeral service. There are teams where you have to minister to the grieving family at the time of the service. And I forgot what that's called, but maybe it's bereavement ministry. Maybe that's what it was. But if I told this before on this program, forgive me. If I sound like a broken record, I always say it. If I sound like a broken record, I intend to sound like a broken record. But in any event, there was this particular service where I walked in. I'm prepared to minister for. It was my time to work. I'm prepared to minister in this funeral service. I looked at the casket, and, you know, you look and see, well, who's it today? And it was a young man dressed in a military uniform, just in a uniform that was, a military uniform. And that had been the Army. There were the particular flags there. And even as I look at it now, it seems like he was dressed in a green suit with the, you know, the pins of whatever you call it, you know, when you have the uniform and the different badges on the uniform and so forth. And I can see it now as he sat there, laid there in the casket. And I can see the flags all around him, and that's before the family arrives, because we meet them and greet them as they arrive in the procession. But I'm thinking, oh, wow, this person, and it was around that time period, this person died in a war. It looks to be like a person died in the war. And I read the program, of course, you know, when you read obituaries, it doesn't give you the full story. But then I was surprised to learn, and I learned it when they had remarks during the funeral, that this young man had committed suicide. He committed suicide. You know, he survived the war. Is honorably discharged, came home, and he applied for a job with the local police department there. And he was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I believe almost a year had passed. But he was concerned about that he had not been called to this job that he applied for on the police force. And this is what I learned now from hearing the remarks of the various people that were standing up. I'm thinking he got killed in the war. I assumed it, rather. And this is what took place. I found out from the remarks that one day before he was called to work for that police department, and they actually had a person there who testified that he was actually hired. And when they called him that day, they found out that the day before, this young man became discouraged, very discouraged, and killed himself, shot himself. And lo and behold, the job, the Detroit, well, it was Detroit Police Department, they called him the next day for this job. You can't imagine how stunned I was to hear that. And I'm thinking, wow, what was going through his head the day before when he thought it was over? I'm going to kill myself. Life is over for me. What was his thought process? What was he looking at that it became so dim, that glass became so dark? And I always tell this story everywhere I go because it's a paradigm. I'm talking about the paradigm. The paradigm is a model. It's a paradigm for failure in the cycle of patients, really, because that darkness that he was experiencing overtook him. He did not see the fulfillment of the promise that God gave him that he was going to work for a police department, and that was his dream. I understand he was very vigilant and diligent about it. And he saw no results, and then, of course, killed himself. And then the day after, they called him for the job. Well, that's an example right there. I think that's a principle right there in the cycle of patience, that when you get hit, when you get attacked, when you're attacked so vigorously that you say there's no hope, probably the next day is the time that you're scheduled to be blessed by the Lord, by Jesus. You know, God just has it like that. And that's why he has us grow up in the cycle so that we can survive the attacks, we can survive the dark times, we can survive when it looks really bad, we can continue, persist when it gets really bad, when it gets really dark, and a promise that God gave now, and then know that God is going to fulfill it. Probably the next day. I mean, the darkest hour is right before day. I know that. And so that's one example, and that's what always prompts me to speak on the cycle of patience and then the cycle of fulfillment and so forth. But we can get impatient, and I'm reminded again of my own, and I'm talking to me. This time I didn't participate in this particular experience. My sister is the one that beat me down to do something recently, go see a relative, and it was for a particular reason. I was prepared, let me tell you, to endure the experience that I had to endure. It was a very, very extreme experience. I was prepared to endure it. And it involved spending a holiday weekend by myself. And I said I was going to do it. I didn't care. I was going to really just read, maybe paint a little, play a little music, do something prepared for the long haul over this holiday weekend. My sister's saying, I'm telling on her today, you all. Let's go see so-and-so, my cousin in North Carolina. Let's go up there. They're going to have this. They're going to be doing this and this and this and this. And I didn't want to go. In fact, I told her at first, I said, well, no, you go, and I'm not going to go. And I had pretty much dug my heels in. I was not moving. I was going to just enjoy myself over the holiday. It wasn't a typical holiday now, but it was one where I had prepared just to endure where I was. My sister talked me out of it. So, no, let's go up here. Okay, last minute. I relented. I said, okay, I'll go. And it was something. It was not what we expected, I tell you that. It turned into an ordeal. First of all, my dog was injured. There was another dog there in her house, a big dog that attacked my little dog. My dog was bitten and attacked. And thank God he survived, because if you had seen the dog fight, it was a way that you would think my dog would not have lived through it. But he did. Thank you, Jesus. And then when my dog got out of that fight, my dog is white as snow. And he was covered with dirt, and he was covered with leaves and dirt, and just, I didn't know how damaged he was, how hurt he was. I mean, but it was just really a very stressful experience uncovering the dirt off of him and seeing if he was really, really, how much he was hurt. Thank God he was injured a little, but it was something that did not require immediate medical attention, and he survived a dog bite of this very big dog, a ferocious dog. That was the first thing that happened, okay? And then, I mean, just all kinds of other things. I mean, I won't go into all of it. I'll just tell you, I'll save it for next week. But let me tell you something. It was an experience where it caused my sister to say, let's go now. Let's don't delay. Let's get back where we were. We might think where we were was worse than where we are now, but the grass is not that green here. Let's go. Okay, so I bowed down to her impatient spirit that time, even though God had prepared my spirit. Why? Because through experience after impatience, I learned, I've been groomed to wait it out, and been groomed to endure, even in a very uncomfortable situation. And so those were the things I was thinking of. Those were the situations I was thinking of when I embarked on this broadcast today. And I did not even get into my strong concordance definitions of patience, my vocabulary.com, dictionary.com, definitions of the word patience. Believe me, it's quite extensive. And I want to leave you with one thing, though, that phase of this cycle is the promise from God. That's the first phase. The next phase, which I'll talk about next week, is how you get into the expectancy of this promise that God is going to fulfill. You start feeling expectant. It's like an expectant mother. You have a promise. You know it's going to come to pass. God gave it to you. You know his word is true. His word is sure. And it's going to come to pass. And so you get into this expectancy phase. Well, I'll talk about that next week. But here with Abraham and Sarah, they have a promise. And God has already said that his families, he said, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's a big promise. That's a very big promise. But there's a promise. It starts out with a promise. It may be general. He didn't tell them it was a son at first. He just told them, the families of the earth were going to be blessed through him. Amen. Well, you see how slow this is going to go. But I'll get there. Well, at least, maybe I don't even need to read my text today, because they're going to really come in maybe the next broadcast or the one after that. But I think I'll read them. And my tags are: a difficult situation can mature patience. The first phases of the patient cycle are always the most difficult. The latter phases of the patient cycle quiet a spirit from doubting. And I know it doesn't say that right away, but it's a little problem there with the URL. And the test of patience always requires more than we want to give. Patience causes God to extract our ungodly traits and replace them with the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. Well, I'm not going to get in any more trouble today. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to start right there. Thanks for listening to the broadcast today. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/RenekeeSanders to listen to an archive version of this episode. I again appreciate you listening, and I will see you next week. I have no ending music here. That's another thing. I guess I'm going to be patient today. It's erased for some reason from the studio wall. Well, anyway, have a blessed week. Talk to you.